You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
You're listening to QLJNRadio.com.
The hot new Q.
It's time for Final Authority, a biblically based program that speaks to questions from you, the listener, and addressing topics revealing truth and understanding of the scriptures in their appropriate context. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to speak to the host at any time during this live broadcast, dial 914-205-5481. Be sure to press 1. And now, here is the pastor of the Will of God Christian Center in Vallejo, California, Pastor Everett Robinson.
All right. Well, peace and blessings, will of God be down to Christ be glorified. Thank you for tuning in live to KLJNRadio.com. This is the Final Authority, your host, Pastor Everett Robinson. We air live every Monday, Pacific Standard Time, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And we have a show for you tonight. Wow, I have a little technical difficulties. Let me try to see if I can make sure you can hear me clearly. I'm hoping that that's cleared up. I don't know. I hear a little. It's like a little muffled. Okay. Well. Okay. Well, I'm going to go and just proceed. Hopefully, it clears up in the process of time. And so, I'm going to pray, and then we'll tell you the topic subject that we're going to be covering. Okay. All right. So, all right. Well, Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. We look to you as the living, true God, most high God. We come before you in the holy, majestic name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. We come, Father, clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. We come, Father, washed in the blood, sealed with the Holy Spirit, faith in our heart, your word in our mouth, confessing to Christ that he is our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, for he has redeemed us to you by his blood. He redeemed us for time and eternity. Therefore, we are his forever. And Father, we thank you for your goodness, the grace that you bestowed upon us. I thank you for those who have tuned in to the radio show. We ask, oh God, you grant unto all of us, Father, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ and in the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. I pray the word of God would abound and increase and multiply in us and through us to and for the exaltation and the glorification of the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ. We thank you, Father, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' holy, majestic name, so be it, and amen. Okay, now, so we're going to be dealing with the subject, to forgive or not to forgive. To forgive or not to forgive. Okay? So let's talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that is not necessarily often talked about. It comes up periodically. But I think that forgiveness is spoken throughout Old and New Testament. And forgiveness of our sins, because anytime you sin, and sin is a transgression against the law of God. God has a standard. And God, who is a holy and just and righteous God, he has a standard that he has set. And when you violate the law of God, that would be called a sin against God. Okay, so any sin that you commit against the standard of God is a sin against God. Now, God is a just God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. But yet, he's a God of justice. Just as much as, for an example, you might go to court. And you might face a judge. And that judge might be a very loving husband. He might be a very caring father to provide for his family. But yet, he's not functioning as a husband or a father. He's functioning at that point as a judge, and he has to administer the law. And depending upon the nature of the particular violation or the crime, he has to then impose a penalty upon that person that violated that law. And so it doesn't negate him being a loving father, him being a loving husband, a provider, and so on, him being a caring, sensitive man, but he's functioning as a judge. And so likewise with God, God's merciful, he's gracious, he's kind, but also there's times he functions as a judge. Now here's the thing. Everything that God does, it's always just, right, and holy. Everything he does is perfectly right. God never does anything that's wrong. He never contradicts himself. He never goes against his own word. Now, so we're going to be dealing with forgiveness. When I say to forgive and not to forgive, we're going to deal with God's forgiveness of us and our forgiveness one of another. Okay, forgiveness. Okay, so what I want to do is to define the word forgive. What does it mean to forgive? You know, people say, oh, I forgave them or I forgive them. Okay, well, when you forgive an individual person, and if you really forgive them from a biblical perspective, you dismiss the charges. You drop the case against them. But for you to continue to talk about the case and bring it up, well, then you did not forgive them. Okay? So we want to look at, from a biblical standpoint, from the standpoint of a person who is a genuine, authentic believer in Christ Jesus, who is committed and dedicated to following the teachings of Jesus Christ and his apostles, we're going to deal with this thing called forgiveness. Because we need forgiveness one of another, not only in the church world, in the home, forgiveness in the schools, forgiveness on the jobs, forgiveness. Forgiveness in relationships between spouses, forgiveness of relationship between parent and child, or relative, or forgiveness relative to in-laws, friends, associates, things happen. And what does forgiveness mean? And what does it not mean? Okay? Now, forgiveness does not mean, in every case, depending upon the nature of what's happening here, of the nature of what was done against one, forgiveness, you can forgive a person, but they may still need to suffer certain consequences. Okay? For an example, when you read the scriptures, Jesus was crucified between two men. And one of the men said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. And so that man went to paradise. Now, he suffered the death of a criminal. Even though he was forgiven, he did ultimately go to paradise. However, his crime, capital punishment, led him to that death. Now, he was forgiven, but yet he suffered the consequences of his violation. Okay? Let's say, you know, you are a believer and you commit a crime. Let's just say you happen to drink and you end up driving and you end up killing somebody. Yes, God's grace can extend to you and forgive you. You can confess your sin to God, and God's grace is enough to forgive you. However, you may have to suffer some time in a penalty, jail time, and so on, because DUI and having killed somebody as a result of a DUI, driving under the influence of an alcoholic beverage, which demented or altered your judgment or whatever, okay? So we're going to deal with forgiveness. Now, the word forgive means to release, to loose, to let go of, to drop, to pardon of one's offense, okay? To release, to loose, to let go of, to drop. Okay, to pardon of one's offense. Okay, so you have an offense. I'm going to release you from that offense. Okay, now, what I want to deal with is, again, dealing with our relationship with Almighty God. Okay, now, ultimately, God sets a standard, and God is the one that determines what is a sin against himself. I don't determine that. I don't define that. God does. And he has done so in his word. And so what I look at is what the word of God says. Let me give you an example of something. Now, we do know, according to 1 John 3, verse 4, whoever transgresses the law, whoever sins transgresses the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So God has a standard. And so that law that God has given, just like you got laws of the land, okay, they have a standard. And you violate the law. So let's say the speed limit is 55, but you go on 90 miles an hour, you went over the speed limit, you violate the law, there's consequences. There's a penalty to be now imposed upon you based on the fact that you violate the law. Okay? So, God has a standard that he has. And The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. So all have sinned. Every one of us has sinned against God. Now, here's the thing about the law of God. The law of God says that when you sin, the souls that sin, it shall die. That's separation from God. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, says the wages of sin is death. Okay? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here, the wages of sin is death. Death is separation from. It has to do with a separation from God for eternity. That is death, separation. So the wage of sin is death. Now, if you stand before God and you are standing before God in your own sin, having sinned against God, having no salvation and no redemption, you stand before God. You will be condemned for time and eternity. The wages of sin is death. There's nothing you can do to save or redeem yourself. You sin against a holy God. The law worketh wrath, the Bible says. So the law must be satisfied. You sin, then the law must be now imposed upon you. You're executed, you're sentenced to eternal damnation. But what happened was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God so loved the world that he sent his Son to be born of a virgin, take upon human flesh, so that ultimately Jesus Christ can be nailed to a cross, lift up on that cross, and the Father God took all of our sins, past, present, and future, and placed all of our sins up on his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in our place. On our behalf, he now suffered the penalty that was to be imposed upon us. So the Father God judged his Son, Jesus Christ, for our sin, and he was sentenced under the judgment of God's wrath. Thus, he satisfied the demands of divine justice. The law of God was executed. On that cross, Jesus literally died for our sins. His blood was shed from his body for the forgiveness of our sins and to redeem us of the Father. He was buried. On the third day, he literally rose again from among the dead, having given so many evidences of his resurrection. He's alive forevermore. And after he had given evidence of his resurrection for a period of 40 days, he ascended back up into the heavens, having received the Father, highly exalted, glorified, and now he is seated as the great high priest in the heavens. Now, solely contingent or solely based upon the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Father God has forgiven me, has forgiven you. All right? Now, keep in mind, it was Jesus Christ that suffered the penalty for us in our place. So he satisfied the judgment of God. The book of Romans chapter 3 brings that out very clearly, all right? Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to the book of Romans chapter 3 and cover some things out of Romans chapter 3 real quickly. And so if you don't have your Bible, then write it down, Romans chapter 3. All right, if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 3. And what I want to do, I'll just read a few verses. In fact, what I'm going to do, I'll just start reading at verse 19. Now, we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. See, the law is perfect. It is a standard of God. But notice it says, the law, whatever it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be, what, stopped, closed shut, and all the world become guilty before God. So here, every person have sinned against the law of God. They all are guilty. They're going to be given account before God. Let me go on further. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned. All right, what? Against God's law. But then verse 24 says, being justified, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute. I sinned, I come short. I'm guilty before God, and now it says being justified freely by his grace through what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus Christ was the one that satisfied the judgment of God for me. So now because of this sacrificial substitutionary, which means in my place, he sacrificed his life on my behalf, and he went and took the penalty upon himself in my place and satisfied the judgment of God for me. Now because of what he did, I'm free to go. I'm justified now by God. I'm declared righteous. I'm acquitted of every charge that I have done. All right? Okay, so this is what Paul's talking about here in the book of Romans. He says in verse 24, being justified freely by his God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth. The word set forth means to put on public display, to be a propitiation or satisfaction through faith in his blood. So God was the one that had Christ openly and publicly crucified and had his son satisfy the demands of divine justice for us in our place. And God did not relent and hold back his judgment. He judged his son in his wrath for all our sins. The son satisfied the demands of divine justice. Why did God judge his son and the son satisfied the demands of divine justice? Verse 26, to demonstrate his righteousness for what? That he, God, might be just and the justifier of him was what? Believeth in Jesus. So, because I believe in Jesus, and what does it mean to believe in Jesus? It means to believe in and accept and embrace all that he's done for you on that rugged cross through his death, the shedding of his blood, his burial, and his resurrection. All that has to do with believing in Jesus. So this is what it means to believe in Jesus. I believe that he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my sins, shed his blood for me, was buried for me, and rose again from among the dead. Okay? Now, because my faith is in Jesus, because Jesus was the one that did the work, and I didn't do it, Jesus did it. I get credit for what he did. So now Jesus was holy and without blame. He was perfectly righteous. So I have his perfect righteousness credited to me now. Okay? So now that I have that, so because I believe in Jesus and he now rests me in his righteousness, the Father God now declares me as a person who's justified because of what Jesus did. I'm not justified because I went to church or I went through a religious or spiritual ritual or ceremony. It's because of what Jesus Christ done for me on the rugged cross of Calvary. All right? So I believe in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. So it says to declare, verse 26, I say at this time his righteousness, that he, God, might be what? Just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, God is just and the justifier. He's just in justifying me because he already judged his son for my sins. All right? He's the just and the justifier. He's just in justifying me because of what Christ has done and my faith in his son, Christ Jesus. So I can't boast about anything because it's what Jesus did. I better boast about Christ. So then Paul says, all right, God is the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He said in verse 27, where is boasting then? It is what? Excluded. You can't come to God's court of law and boast about anything. It's inadmissible in God's court of law. You can't boast about why you are justified before God in your own based on anything you've done, because it's not based on what you've done. Because if it was based on you, you'd be eternally condemned and damned forever, alienated and separated from God for time and eternity. So it says, where's boasting then? It is excluded. Now, the reason why I'm saying where's boasting, because the Jews prided themselves upon the fact that they were Jews. They were circumcised on the eighth day. They had the law of Moses. They had the covenants of God. They had the glory of God. They had the ministry service of the priests. And they prided themselves on these things. And they boasted about these things, that they had covenant with God. But he says, no, it is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Why? Because faith, now the law of faith says you must solely, completely depend upon Jesus Christ and what he done. It's not upon what you have done based upon your work or your merits or your deeds or anything. So it's excluded. It's inadmissible. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Then he says in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So all the deeds you can perform can get you right with God. Doing good deeds is good. Okay? We believe in that. We're careful to maintain good works and do good deeds to the glory of Christ. However, I'm not saved because of my good deeds. I'm saved based upon the good deed that Jesus Christ done for me on the cross. He satisfied the judgment of God for me and I, for you and I. So thus, I'm justified. God has acquitted all my sins, blotted it out, dismissed the charge against me, and declared me righteous. Why? Because I'm in union with His Son, Jesus Christ now. So again, verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, here's the thing. Jesus Christ literally had all the sin of the world placed on him on that rugged cross. So any person who hears the message, the good news, about the person of Jesus Christ and what he has done and accomplished for you by way of that rugged cross of Calvary, and you come to true biblical repentance and faith in Christ, the Father God forgives you all your sins. It doesn't matter what sin you committed. It doesn't matter how evil or how wicked or how low base and dirty your sin was. God forgives you. He declares you righteous. You see, once you come to faith, a genuine, authentic faith in Christ, Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, He washes you. Not only does He wash you from all your sins, He clothes you, wrap you in His perfect righteousness. You are joined by the Spirit to Christ. You then are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And now that you walk in God's court of law with Christ's righteousness, joined to Christ by the Spirit, the Father God declares you righteous. You are justified. Every charge against you is dropped, case dismissed, and you are a citizen of heaven. So God forgives you. All right, to forgive or not to forgive? To forgive. Now, a person who hears the message of the gospel and hears the good news about God's salvation that He offers to the person of Christ, and you reject God's offer of salvation, you reject the authority of God. You reject what the terms that God has set for your forgiveness. Then where can you go for forgiveness? Where are you going to go to get forgiven when you need to be forgiven by God? And if God doesn't forgive you, it is because you have not come to faith and trust in Jesus, what He has done for you on the cross. So you have to come to the cross. So God forgives. God is willing and ready to forgive and forgive right now. Okay? Now, but when I'm dealing with to forgive or not to forgive, I'm going to deal with it in light of our relationship with one another. Okay? To forgive or not to forgive. Okay? Now, very clearly in Scripture, the Bible does talk about forgiving one another. We'll deal with that in the letters of Paul, okay? But what I want to do, I want to take you over to St. Luke chapter 17, okay? In St. Luke chapter 17, I'll start with verse 3. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and He says unto them, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Wow. So now we're dealing with a relationship between what we would call spiritual brothers or spiritual sisters, if you would. Okay, so we're dealing with some type of a body of believers here. Notice what he said. He said, take heed to yourself. He says, if your brother, this relationship, brother, shall trespass against you, rebuke him. If you repent, forgive him. So one thing is that people who've done certain things that are wrong, it needs to be addressed. You hold them accountable. If he trespasses against you and it's a trespass, you need to rebuke him. If he repents, Jesus said, forgive him. You have to drop the case against him. Repent. He repents for what he done. You see it, it's evident and obvious. Jesus holds you accountable to forgive your brother. That's what he said, okay? Then he says this. In the next verse, now this is to another level. If he, referring back to your brother that trespassed against you, if he, your brother, trespassed against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to you, saying, I repent, Jesus said, you shall forgive him. You are commanded to forgive. It is not an option he gives you. He did not give you a way to opt out of forgiveness. He says, you shall forgive him. So you must do it. Okay, bottom line, no doubt about it. So, again, people that trespass, you hold them accountable. Don't let them just get away with anything. You have to hold them accountable. All right, but if a brother trespasses against you, you hold them accountable. Then he repents. He said, now forgive him. Drop the charge against him. Dismiss the case. Pardon them of their offense. Excuse me. I've been going and going. Got up early this morning and worked out. But anyway, let me get back in the word here. So, the thing is that heart to forgive, a willingness to forgive a fellow brother, fellow sister. Things happen. All right? Now, when you forgive, you have to understand, looking at forgiveness from God's perspective, when God dropped the charge against you, he dismissed the whole case, and he brought out all your sin. God doesn't wait and say, oh, you know what? You messed up before. I forgive you. No, you've done these things before. God doesn't do that. When God forgives you, he blocks it totally out. He doesn't bring it back in your face. He doesn't condemn you with it. So when he forgives, he totally dismisses everything about it. God does that. Well, the Bible tells you to forgive your brother. You need to drop the whole case against them. You see, if in fact you keep going back to the past and keep bringing up what they did, what happened, this thing that happened, you're not forgiving. Now, I'm going to show you something. In fact, this is a hard verse right here. This is a very hard one right here. Come with me to Matthew chapter 6 real quickly, okay? In Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read, Jesus talked about the model prayer of the Our Father prayer, as we say. After he closed out on that, he says these words, verse 14. Yeah, verse 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So forgiving. Forgiving men. Why? Because there are times when people are going to trespass against you. Jesus said, forgive them. So if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, but if you will not forgive men their trespasses, you will not. Not that you can't, you will not. But if you forgive, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow, God holds you. See, when you come to the light of the teaching of Christ, God holds you accountable to a higher standard. So it is a command to forgive. And then he says, you got to forgive, because if you don't forgive, your Father will not forgive your trespasses. That's the test. I'm going to read it again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we see again, forgiveness. Forgiveness is very important, very vital. All right? So it's very important that you, as a fellow believer who follows the teaching of Christ, that you follow the command, the authoritative command of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you forgive your brother. Release it. Drop it. Let it go. Pardon them of the offense. Don't be bringing that back up in their face. Don't go telling somebody else what happened. When you forgive them, you don't go to somebody else and say, ooh, you know what? honey, I forgave them of what they did. Let me tell you what they did. I forgave them of that. No, you didn't. If you're talking about it and you're sharing with somebody else, you didn't forgive it. You're just talking forgiveness. We're talking about a genuine work of the Spirit of God that you submit to embrace the teaching of Christ, that you from the heart, with the help of the Holy Spirit, truly, literally forgive your fellow brother. Okay, now. Okay. So, I'm going to take you over to, I'm going to take you over to Romans. Actually, what I'm going to do, let me take you over to the book of Ephesians. I'll take you to the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to keep reading because we have a break momentarily, and then after the break, I will resume after the break. The other thing, let me do this. If you have any questions or comments, please be sure to call 914-205-5481. Again, the number for questions or comments, you know, or you want to express something different, please call the area code 914-205-5481. After you dial that number and you are connected, press the number 1 immediately, and my producer will connect you to my line, and I will welcome you to the final authority to express your question, comment, or what have you. Stay tuned in to the final authority. We're going to see you after this brief 1-minute break, okay? God bless you.
You thought I was to die.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
All right. Well, praise God. Thank you for staying tuned in to KLJNradio.com. This is your host of the Final Authority, pastor and teacher, Eric Robinson. We're dealing with to forgive or not to forgive. Well, we went over a number of passages relative to forgiveness. We clearly defined what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is, it simply means to release, to loose, to let go of, to drop, to pardon of one's offense. And we were all offenders. For an example, let me just bring something out. Over in the book of Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4 verse 25 and then chapter 5 verse 1, the first word is who there in verse 25 of Romans chapter 4 refers back to the person Jesus Christ, and it says that who Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in chapter 4, verse 25, that Christ was delivered for our offenses, which means that what he did for us, for our. That was us, you, me, us, our. He was delivered for our offenses. We were the offenders. We the ones that were the, if you would, spiritual convicts, as it were. We violated the law of God. We offended the law of God. We were to be judged, but Christ was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered over to crucifixion and the judgment of God for our sins. He was delivered over to death for our sins. So he was delivered for our offenses, right? But then it goes and says, and was raised again for our justification. So he was delivered for our offenses. He rose again from among the dead for, or on account of, our justification. All right? So thank God for the historicity of the actual suffering, the crucifixion, the death, the shed blood, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apart from the actual suffering of Christ and the death, the shed blood of Christ and the resurrection of Christ for us on our behalf, there'll be absolutely no hope of forgiveness for us. So solely based upon all that Jesus Christ has done, God has forgiven you. I'm forgiven. Heaven holds nothing against me now. All because of what Jesus Christ has done, and I embrace him, and I believe on him in my heart, and I openly confess him as my Lord and Savior. I'm washed in his blood. I'm redeemed by his blood. I'm clothed in his righteousness. I'm joined to him. All right? So I'm blessed because of my union with the Lord Jesus Christ now. He is literally alive. He rose from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. Amen. He has the keys of hell and of death. Present tense, ongoing right now, for time and eternity. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto him. And so I'm in union with the one that possesses all authority. I'm blessed. So now it says he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for what? Our justification. Therefore, being justified or declared righteous by faith. Again, justification actually is a forensic term, or term that's used in a court of law. Paul using a term giving the idea of a court case, because he deal with offenses, he deal with justification, all right? And so here he says justified, therefore being justified. Well, justification is a sovereign judicial act of God, whereby God upon the redemptive work of Christ and your faith in Christ, he now declares you righteous. You're forgiven, the charges against you is dismissed, and you're declared right standing with God. You have peace with God, and it's solely contingent upon what Christ has done. So justification is what God does. I can't justify you, okay, before God in this regard. Only God can, solely based upon what Christ has done, okay? So I'm forgiven. I'm declared righteous. I'm justified now. When before I was an offender, but Christ was delivered for my offenses, but also he rose for my justification. So not only was he delivered for my offenses and set for me, he rose for me also. And that's the blessing. So now I'm forgiven. So God has forgiven us. So I'm fully forgiven. I don't walk around with guilt, a sense of condemnation or a sense of guilt because of my past sins. I'm forgiven, man. God has forgiven me. Now, with that said, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2 because Paul writes into a body of believers, all right? In Ephesians chapter 2, in chapter 4, okay? Now, Paul ministers to these body of believers, these Gentiles, among whom there were some Jews among them also. But here in this particular text here, Paul is laying some things out about dealing with their relationship within the church body. And in the context of Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, okay? And so he goes on, and I'm going to read verse 32. We don't have that much time left, but in verse 32, he says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, notice what he says, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. That would be an ongoing thing. You should have an attitude in the spirit of forgiveness relative to fellow brothers in the Lord. Well, I say brothers, that covers sisters too. So forgiving one another. Why? Because you see, you're going to, as you spend time with people within the church body or the church family, what happens is you begin to, what begins to surface is their weaknesses, their imperfections, their faults, their flaws, their errors, or what have you. And it could be sometimes some personality conflicts, differences of opinion, where you take it to a point where as now you kind of have a little bit of contention between one another. There's issues that is now coming up between you, and now you're not speaking to them, or they're not speaking to you, or you're not speaking to one another, or y'all got attitude, or y'all speaking or talking about each other to other people. Well, Paul says, be kind one to another. I mean, I'm willing to extend a helping hand. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. This is an authoritative command. This is not an option or something that you've given to opt out for. So for you to receive the biblical instructions, the authoritative command to forgive, forgive one another, and you don't do it, you then are in violation. You are now choosing to hold on to something that God tells you to let go of. He says, drop that, let that go. Pardon them of that offense. Loose it and let it go. So forgiving one another, it implies that there may come up some things that you might need my forgiveness, or I might need your forgiveness, or we might need each other's forgiveness. Not that we want to be in that position, but the fact is human imperfection does surface, and we have to deal with it. We have to address that. And there's been, over the years, people I had to go and ask for forgiveness. I have to ask them to forgive me for maybe my words, or maybe I said something, I did something, or conducted myself in a way, or what have you, and I have to humble myself to ask them to please, from their heart and soul, to please forgive me. But human imperfections sometimes just show up. And so we have to deal with that. So forgiving one another, you might need somebody's forgiveness, you know. And here's the thing. You have to release it, loose it, and let it go. So forgiving one another, watch what it says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Notice what it says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. See, God has forgiven you. Has is a past tense term, meaning that the forgiveness is already done. It's already granted. It's a past tense term that has a continuous ongoing effect. God has forgiven you, and he's forgiving you. So he has forgiven you. So you're going to forgive one another, forgive a fellow brother, a fellow sister, or what have you, even as or just as God has to. So just like God, so you're going to forgive from the perspective of God. You're going to have the God kind of forgiveness toward that fellow brother or that sister. So when you forgive somebody, you're not going to go and just brutalize their name and assassinate their character and their name before other people. That's an indication you have not truly given them biblical, God-ordained, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-empowered forgiveness. Okay? So it says, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Okay? Now, I think what's important also is this, that if you realize that you have wronged somebody, maybe you had a wrong attitude, or maybe you spoke harshly to a spouse or to a child or to or whoever it may be, something you know in your heart that you should not have done, that you know that you have a conviction that you was out of order for that, then I think it's good that you humble yourself and go to that person with humility and go to them and express, you know, what you've done. You know, my brother, I come to you in a spirit of humility and a spirit of peace, with a broken heart before God, and I humble myself before you, and I'm asking you from my heart and soul that you would please forgive me from your heart and soul. I apologize for my behavior, my conduct, my words, my attitude, or what I said, what I did, or what I didn't do, what I should have did, or what I shouldn't have did, that I should have did, or whatever. Whatever it may be, you want to ask for forgiveness. So I think that's very appropriate that you do that. And when it comes to dealing with issues within the fellow body, I think it's important that you so if there's a conflicting issue between you and a fellow brother, then you ought to be able to sit down in a mature spirit with humility of heart and soul and say, I just want to confess my fault. I want to acknowledge what I've done. And you're doing this for the purpose of forgiving one another and something that will bring healing in the heart and in the relationship. Okay? Now, let me give you an example of something. When you look at the writings of the Lord's brother, James, James says some very powerful things. He talks about humility, which is very important in dealing with forgiveness and bringing some resolution to issues that has developed into envy and strife and confusion and contention and so on. So he talks about in James chapter 4, he says, from where come these wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusted war in your members? So there was fightings between these Jewish believers in their relationship. There was so much going on, they started being conformed to the world and so on. Okay? And so James then, he talks about that God gives grace to the humble. You know, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And then he says, you know, submit to God. Well, you submit to God by submitting to the authority of God. All right? He tells you to draw nigh to God. All right? Cleanse your hands. And then he says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. All right? So he's given all these instructions. And ultimately, he goes over to chapter 5. And then he says over in verse 16, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So here, confessing your faults. Well, it's easy when you're upset or angry and you're not in a state of mind and a spirit to forgive. It's easy for you to confess and acknowledge and point out somebody else's fault and magnify that and amplify that and glorify that. Humility says, I want to go to them and I'm going to confess my fault. And so as two believers coming together, it says confess your faults one to another. Well, to do that, you have to acknowledge your own fault and they have to acknowledge their fault and come together with humility. He says confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So we're dealing with an expression and the willingness to embrace each other with forgiveness, and that would ultimately y'all pray one for another fervently from the heart, and it would bring healing, because the healing here is more so of healing from wounds and hurt as a result of whatever it was that had occurred between the two parties, or however many parties it may be. I don't know how many parties involved. But nevertheless, so it says confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And I think that that part of healing is the expression of forgiveness. So you're confessing your faults, you're praying one for another, there's been some forgiveness. It brings about a healing, you know. And it's just like even as Jesus doing his earthly ministry, Jesus said, is it easier to say, you know, your sins be forgiven thee, or to rise up and walk? Well, Jesus said, well, I'm going to show you that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin. Rise up and walk. Wow. Forgiveness and healing go hand in hand. And so I believe that there's things that can immobilize your relationship and that really keep it down from ever advancing and progressing and growing because of unforgiveness, holding on to the past, past hurts, past pains, and I understand why this and why that, and you will not zero in on what you should do now. At this point, yield it to the Spirit and go forward with what the Spirit is trying to do in you based upon the authority of the Holy Scriptures. So I believe that when you come together, you humble yourself, you confess your faults one to another, you pray one for another that you may be healed. Then he says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. So to forgive, yes, forgive. There's no place for unforgiveness of a believer. So to forgive or not to forgive. I would say God says forgive. There's not one thing God's going to tell you, oh, no, don't forgive them. No, because he forgives. He forgives solely based, he's forgiving you based upon the merits of Christ. So now you then turn, you have the work of the Holy Spirit in you. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by the blood of Christ. You sit in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are to forgive people. You are to forgive your fellow brother. So, again, looking at the text, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I think it's very important with this forgiveness that you really understand what forgiveness is from the standpoint of God, having God's perspective on forgiveness and receiving and welcoming the Holy Spirit to empower you to forgive your fellow brother just as God has forgiven you. That would be the biblical order. That's the biblical mandate. Again, it's not a matter of an option or a question. It's a matter of your submitting to the authority of what the Word of God says where this area is concerned. I believe that if we come together and we confess our faults and we express forgiveness one to another, we pray one for another effectually, I think it'll bring healing in homes, marriages, households, ministries, jobs, neighborhood, or what have you. Forgiveness. Who talks about forgiveness these days? People do. I'm not saying they don't. It's just the fact that we don't hear a lot about it. I talk about it every once in a while, but I happen to be on it again. I talked about it before. Okay? Now, again, the final authority we air every Monday live from 6 to 7, you know, unless otherwise indicated. Now, if, in fact, you didn't call, you wanted to call in, you didn't call in, we gave you the number earlier, but also you might want to even email me a question, all right? And I'll get back to you. I will reply to your email. The email address to email me questions or make comments would be ambassadorer@yahoo.com. Ambassadorer@yahoo.com. Ambassador, A, MB, as in boy, ASSAD, all right, as in David, ORER at yahoo.com. Okay, so feel free to email me your questions, comments, or what have you, and we can go from there. Okay, so what I want to do, I'm going to close out because we close out time now. I'm going to pray over you, but remember, God has forgiven you. Now, again, forgive your fellow brother. Don't hold grudges. Don't hold forgiveness, resentment, or bitterness. And unfortunately, so many things have happened to people. Okay. Now, if someone trespassed against you and it was really something that you have to go to a person of authority, then you may need to do that. Depend upon the nature of it. You got some bad stuff that goes on, you know, in ministries and churches. You may have to report something to the authorities, okay? Again, depending upon the nature of the trespass, you know. But sometimes it's just personality conflicts, differences of opinion, and people hold their opinion very dear, and they just get upset. Now there's a little different. Online. Okay, that's petty stuff. That's just really stuff you can work that stuff out, okay? But if I'll, for an example, if I don't have no tiny kids, but if my kid was in the child care and I found out that my child was being abused or mistreated at the child care, I would remove my child out of that child care. Now, I may forgive them. I may have to even press charges against them for the nature of whatever abuse that may have been going on. However, I can forgive, but it does mean that I have to place my child back in that child care again. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So, you know, we have to bring balance to cover all the areas and angles possible to try to bring balance. But we're dealing with basically, when Paul deals with forgiving one another, we're dealing with just conflicting issues where there's just some ill will feeling and differences between relationships of people of opinion or whatever within the same church body or same church family. So I submit, forgive one another. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. I honor you as God, Father, source, provider, and giver of life. I thank you, oh God, for the word. We ask, oh God, your word would abound and increase and multiply in us and through us. I pray that Christ is glorified, Father. I pray that those who have tuned into the program are blessed with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Father. Your will be done. In the holy, majestic name of Jesus the Christ, we pray, so be it. And amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to The Final Authority. We'll see you Monday. On next Monday from 6 to 7, The Final Authority, QLJNradio.com. God bless. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Final Authority. We hope you enjoyed our program. Join us again next Monday, right here on the hot new Q, QLJNradio.com.